Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Should key workers, so the likes of nurses, teachers, guards, be given the opportunity to rent low-cost homes in the heart of Dublin City? And we're really talking about Dublin City because it's Middle Abbey Street and North Frederick Street that have been chosen for what's been described as a bold urban rejuvenation pilot programme, all under these plans from Dublin City Council. And Cian Farrell is the Social Democrat councillor. He's the chair of the Urban Redevelopment Working Group. How are you going to decide who'll qualify for this, Cian, first of all?
Hi, Andrea. How are you? Look, I guess the first thing to say is that this is a much bigger piece than just cost rental apartments. What we're trying to do is create a comprehensive regeneration framework that we can roll out across every Dublin street over the coming years. And we're starting with Middle Abbey Street and North Frederick Street as part of the pilot,
which are right in the city centre. I mean, we're talking about Middle Abbey Street, which is just literally the back of Arnott's, isn't it? And North Frederick Street is just around the corner from the Garden of Remembrance.
Yeah, exactly. So we chose those two streets because there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of challenges with both. Middle Abbey Street, you know, a lot of commercial presence, really good transit with the Lewis Line, but still a lot of vacant, derelict and underused buildings. And then North Frederick Street, traditionally more been a residential area where we have, I guess, a more conservation-led or conservation-focused regeneration approach. So picking those two streets so we can get as much learnings as possible throughout the three-year pilots, figure out what we can learn, and then hopefully scale it up citywide through a dedicated regeneration company that the council will set up.
Okay, so we're going to identify the derelict buildings that were there. Is the council going to pay to do them up?
Not in all cases. So what we're doing at the moment is we're mapping every building on both streets and we're looking at creating what's called a digital twin. So it's essentially a 3D model of the two streets and of every building on the two streets. And as part of that, we'll be looking to figure out, you know, who owns them, what condition are they in, have they had previous planning permissions, what's development potential. And in terms of who will actually redevelop them, it'll be twofold. So if the council owns a building, we will look at bringing those buildings back into use. And again, just to stress that this could be back into cost rental units, it could be back into private, it could be commercial, retail, mixed use. And then similarly for the private sector or for private owners, the council is setting up a new concierge service, which will help them bring their buildings back into use. Again, in any outcome that is beneficial for the street.
Okay, so the cost rental aspect is an area that I know a lot of our listeners, Cian, are interested in today. So that would mean that the price of renting one of these, so-called affordable apartments will be about, is it 25% below the market value?
Correct, yes. So it's 25% below market rate. That's the official definition. But in terms of, you know, we really need to figure out, first of all, if cost rental is appropriate in certain buildings. You know, it might be a case, again, that you could have a retail unit or a cafe on the ground floor and there might be four apartments above. Mm. Again, some of them can be private, some of them could be cost rental. And we still need to go through that political process with the councillors to figure out, you know, who exactly might get these buildings and under what circumstances.
Yeah, well, that's the part I can tell you, Cian, that a lot of our listeners are intrigued by today, because, you know, 4 or 5 years ago during the COVID pandemic, sure, nearly half the country was described as an essential key worker. So as part of this Dublin City Council plan, who will fall under that category?
Yeah, so I think, we as I've mentioned, we have to go through that political process. It's been incredibly collaborative to date. There's been 8 councillors, one from each of the parties and a handful of independents. So we'll need to figure that out as the pilot continues.
Yeah, but the mention today is it's just nurses, Gardaí and teachers that I see mentioned in some of the papers.
Yes, so in the report, feel free to dive into it, but there was an example given of, you know, nurses, teachers and guards. And I think what we're trying to do is, you know, the threshold for being eligible for cost rental is also if your net income is under 66,000 euro a year. And we have a situation where, you know, these, you know, frontline workers, guards, nurses, teachers are unable to live in the city or unable to live near where they're working. So, you know, it might be a prioritization exercise. It could be anything, but Yeah, I feel confident we'll be able to figure it out over the coming years.
Stay with me, Cian. I want to bring in Tony Gallagher for a minute. Tony's a former Garda inspector in Dublin City and current risk security and event manager at the Ashtree Risk Group. Is this a good idea, Tony?
It is a good idea, Andrea. But I would say there, when your speaker talks about 25% below the market value rental, what's he benchmarking that against? Because my research on the matter there, when it was first launched in Dublin 2, that it was still upwards on 1,800 or 2,000 for apartments over in the Dublin 2 area. So if you're talking about kind of the frontline workers of the Gardaí, the teachers and the nurses, they're not on the type of wages that are still going to be able to afford that. And I'll give you an example, Andrea, if I can, if you can bear with me. When I first came to the city in 1984, there was living in accommodation in Garda stations, Harker Terrace, Pier Street and the Bridewell, and in hospitals of Jervis Street, St. Vincent's Marion Road and the Mead Hospital. Now, you could stay there. It was great, Andre. I stayed there myself, and within 3 years, I was able to save to be able to buy a house. So if you're bringing in a scheme like this, you seriously have to look at, to attract those type of people in there, let's have a look at the definition of cost rental. What do they mean? Are you still up in the 1,800 or the 2,000 euro?
And you will be. You will be. Yeah, I did a quick search, and Cian, you might know better about this. I did a quick look before we came on air today on daft.ie, and just a six minute walk up the road in Capel Street, you can currently rent a two bed apartment for €2,495 per month. So under this scheme, that apartment would work out at about £1,800. Like, it's still big money.
It's savage money. And I mean, sorry, can I come in here?
Of course you can, Tony. Go on ahead, Jim.
Yeah, it is very, very high money. And look, I even in more recent times, I would have gone on secondment over to the gendarmerie in Paris. And they have accommodation for their officers who can respond to any kind of emergency in the city. But they have accommodation that's on offer to their state employees. Rome have the same. The UK have what they call section houses for their young police officers who will come into the city after training, and they can stay in these accommodations at a very, very low price and have all the concierge services that everything that goes with it, but allows them to get into a foothold where they can establish a savings base until they can be independently kind of, you know, pay for a mortgage or for a rent.
And I presume, though, as well, even having people, Tony, and you'll know this in your former line of work, that having people live above the likes of the accommodation that's there currently on Middle Abbey Street, I mean, sure, God, you couldn't get a more central location in our capital city. Will that bring down crime, antisocial behaviour? Just bodies on the street?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if you were to talk about retail staff as well, I think should be considered as frontline workers as well. You have intensification of under the planning laws with Dublin City Council of hostels in the city who are people act as places for halfway houses for people who've been released from prisons. But our retail staff still have to travel in from the rural areas or the suburbs, certainly, to get into town, and they can't afford. So it's ideally made for people who are in retail who can go in overhead the premises, offer security to that premises. Mm-hmm. But for sure, Andrea, if you had a guard and more Gardaí staying in the city, I mean, it's like an additional neighbourhood watch in the city. Of course, it's going to bring down the level of crime.
Yeah, Danny's with us too. Tony, stay with us if you can. Do you think this is a good idea, Danny?
Well, first of all, Andrea, like, I'm a taxi driver, and like the 1,800, unless you're on HAP, that's very expensive. And I don't know of any of the frontline workers, doctors, nurses or guards would qualify for HAP. But it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But when you dig down into it, you're looking at a situation that these landlords own these big buildings on North Frederick Street and Abbey Street. If there's money to be made out of bringing them back into use, you have to ask the question, well, why hasn't it been done up until to date? Why do the council need some sort of scheme to offer them money? And if so, is it not a bit of a transfer of wealth where you're going to have very wealthy landlords being given money to do up derelict premises and then possibly receive HAP and funds from the government to house key workers in the city centre?
Will you have a way, Cian Farrell, to manage that?
Yeah, I suppose just to clarify on Danny's point there, the council won't be providing any financial assistance to any like direct financial assistance to any of these building owners. So it'll be more a case of, you know, would we be able to, in certain circumstances, be able to provide, you know, awareness about financial schemes that currently exist, like the Living City Initiative. Might we be able to provide, you know, some design assistance, some technical assistance around the planning process? So I think the overall message is that the council is here to help do something positive with the building. But at the same time, if people refuse to engage or, you know, don't bring their derelict or vacant building back into use, we have an array of enforcement tools that we will prioritise also in these areas. So that could be, you know, overdue rates collection, fire safety enforcement, waste management enforcement, derelict sites levies. And ultimately, if there's, you know, serious non-cooperative owners, we could look at compulsory acquisition of these buildings to take them into council ownership as a very last resource. So it's a balance. You know, we have to get these things right.
Yeah, okay. And look, I think broadly, there's a kind of a warm welcome, I should say, on the, you know, WhatsApps coming in today, Cian, for this scheme. I think people just trying to, you know, maybe get their head around it and more detail as to who actually is going to qualify. Dave has got in touch just to that point about the key workers. Why does it always mean the guards and teachers? Does it not mean the council workers who clean the streets, the water treatment workers, cleaning staff in hospitals, people who stack the shelves in supermarkets? Because during COVID, these were all key workers too. Claire is with me on the line. Claire, you're a legal secretary, is that right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. What's your views on this scheme?
Well, schemes are all very well, but they create an unequal society. Who's going to pick up the slack when somebody gets an apartment that should be rented for 2,800 and somebody's getting it for 1,800? Is the government picking up the slack? Is that coming out of taxpayers' money? Frontline workers not should be paid adequately so that they can live within, you know, emergency distance from their line of work. That would be a better way to do things. But what about other people? Like my kids can. They're in their late 20s, early 30s, and I would consider them key workers, but the government doesn't because they're not a teacher or a nurse, they're a guard.
And what kind of work
The intellectual IT work and that. You know, keeping the systems going for the government and keeping the payrolls taken over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who doesn't want to get their payroll at the end of the day?
It's pretty key, all right,
you know,
to most people,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, they'd find that a key worker quicker than a nurse down the road. But, I mean, people are working behind the scenes that you don't see are actually keeping the lights on in a lot of places. And who's going to spend the money? Who's going to create the wealth if it's just key workers getting everything? Should nobody want to work in private industry? They'll all just want to be, you know, in the government worker. Where are we going to get the work? As I said, who's going to pick up the slack? And who decides who's what's the perimeter to get, assistance and your rental allowance? Like, where does it stop at NACE? Does it stop at the tie? Like, where does it stop?
As you say, proper living wage might solve the whole situation.
So given a proper living wage, but then people have expectations to be able to walk 10 minutes to work. Lots of people are coming in from Meath and Drogheda and Laois and Slough, and they're paying big bucks for transport, and they're getting no help from the government or tax relief. But so why keep favouring one section of society? We're all doing a job. We're all keeping the economy taken over.
No, it's fair point.
If the private sector just down tools and said, okay, let those three sectors get on with it, where's the money coming from to pay them?
David Hall is with us too, Claire. David is the CEO of iCare Housing and CEO of Lifeline Ambulance. Who do you think should qualify for this, David?
Good afternoon, Andrea. I think there's a couple of key points that we've to focus on in relation to this. The regeneration of Dublin City and aspects, as Cian has mentioned, critically important, very, very welcomed. It is years away, and the location of certain properties is a debate for a different day. The key part here is cost, rental and affordable. These properties, as presented or indicated currently, are simply not affordable, and anyone with a maths and a calculator will be able to calculate those. So any nurse who's starting, he or she, on 35,000 means this is 64% of their salary. The general guidelines that are given in any instances are 30 to 35% of your salary. So this is targeted at two people living in effectively what is an old-style bed sit, maybe grade A this time from a BER cert, but ultimately it is 32 square metres. The example you gave, Andrea, of the property that's available. And I'm my office is in Cable Street,
yeah.
So I'm looking at the street as we speak, and that is a 60 square metre property. These are 32 square metres under the new studio guidelines. So the key word here is affordable, and we're wasting our time having a conversation, with the greatest respect to everybody, until we get to the definition of what actually is affordable. And this is, to my mind, a conversation of failure, a failure of housing policy, where anybody, irrespective of your income and your entitlement, is to be able to bid on an appropriate home and an appropriate value that is affordable to you. And some people will have different ranges of affordability. That's the right to do so. But at this moment in time, we have a failed housing policy in Ireland. And these sound bites, and no disrespect to Keane and his project, this is more relevant to a government policy, which is their job to ensure that we have a marketplace with affordable properties. We need key workers. And as many of your contributors have said, the definition of key workers is very, very much a personal definition to many people. Mm. But we're now into a little tunnel discussing a particular project that is unaffordable, despite being propagated as being affordable. We're now segregating society in relation to the definition of key workers because of an undercurrent of an absolute abject failure in respect of a housing policy. Where things, and this is a complete distraction to what the numbers of houses that will be built this year would probably be the lowest in recent times.
Okay, well, the council themselves are describing this as a bold urban rejuvenation pilot to run over the next 3 years. When is it actually going to get underway, Cian?
So we are currently underway with that first phase of mapping and establishing those 3D digital twins. And then next year, we're going to be hiring some new staff to kind of project manage the whole thing. And then next year, again, we'll also begin engaging with the private sector owners. So
it's two or three years away yet, isn't it?
Possible. That's just the reality, though, Andrew, of, you know, building and redeveloping these buildings back into use. It's a pretty ambitious timeline from the point of view of...
Will it take a year to figure out who owns the buildings and do this twin mapping you're talking about?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. It's very complicated.
It's a year.
I know people mightn't be happy to hear that, but yeah, like a lot of these buildings, you know, could be very, very hard to trace the owner. There could be multiple owners. Some of them could be offshore. So there's a lot of work that needs to take place there. And the council also, you know, we've limited resources. We're trying to prioritise this as a pilot. So, you know, really, guess calling on the government to give the council the funding and the resources to deliver this quicker.
All right. Well, look, we want to hear from listeners today about this. Who do you consider actually as a key worker, first of all? Who should qualify for this cost rental 25% below market value scheme that's to take place in North Frederick Street and Middle Abbey Street, right? I mean, couldn't be more in the heart of Dublin City Centre. That is the Social Democrat councillor Cian Farrell, Tony Gallagher there from the Ashtree Risk Group, Danny Clare and David Hall from Lifeline Ambulance CEO. Their emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.